Canto 33. Our Virgin Mother, daughter of your Son, St. Bernard prayed, so low of birth and yet exalted so much more than anyone on earth or in the sky, forever set as goal of the Church Council, you are she who so ennobled human nature's state, its maker deigned to have his majesty made in its making. God's love incarnate, the same fire that first made this flower bloom, the warmth pervading its eternal peace, was kindled once again within your womb. Up here, for all of us, you never cease to be the charitable torch of noon, and down below, you are hope's living spring for mortals. You, great lady, late and soon, are so supreme, he would be floundering who sought for grace and did not turn to you. His wish without wings, without everything, despite whatever he might strive to do. Your kind love comforts all who ask, and may often anticipate the asking. Through your goodness, all the good in any way in every creature is combined. You are all mercy, pity, bounty, joined in one. This man, who comes to see you from so far below, the sky has never known the sun in that pit of the universe, has seen the spirits each and all. Now, by your grace, he seeks the power to say his eyes have been still higher, even to the final place of his salvation. Never for my own great vision did I burn as now I burn for his, but now I pray for him alone, that your prayers, prayers divine, will in their turn divest him of his every mortal cloud, so that the joy supreme may be disclosed to him. My queen, to whom all is allowed, I pray that if you do what I've proposed, you afterwards keep his affections pure, the vision splendid having been achieved, that you will guard him thenceforth to ensure by human impulse he is not deceived and led astray again. But now see how Beatrice and all the others clap their hands. It must be for my prayer. The Queen's eyes now made clear to us how well she understands and cherishes our prayers. The eyes revered and loved by God beheld her courtier for long enough to prove his prayers endeared him further to her, but then went elsewhere, towards the light eternal, where no gaze other than hers so deeply penetrates, as I, my own desires in their last phase, where steady craving finally abates, already did what Bernard asked me to by signing with a smile. I looked up. More and more my sight, becoming pure and true, was entering the beam of that high store of light, itself true. From that moment on, my vision outsoared all our powers of speech, which quail at such a sight and then are gone, and memory fails, the task beyond its reach. And he who sees all in a dream, but when he wakes, finds just the passion has remained in mind, and all the rest will not again come back to him, a spectacle retained only in feeling, such am I. It fades, my vision, and yet still within my heart, the sweetness that was born from it cascades in drops, a distillation, the last part to melt, just as the snowdrift in the sun blurs outlines, and the Sibyl's oracle that she wrote on the leaves when she was done was lost along the wind. Ah, if not all, give me at least a little, light supreme. You that are raised above all mortal thought, of how you looked, so I might give a gleam and lend my tongue the power to report of your great glory for those yet to come. For if it comes back to my memory, at least in part, and some part of the sum lives in these lines, then so much more will be your triumph realized. I think that by the sharpness that I suffered from the force of that ray's vividness, the chance was high, my eyesight, had it been turned from that course, would have been dazzled. Such, indeed, was why I dared, I now recall, to face the light straight on, so long that all my sight was spent upon it. In its depths I saw, packed tight, bound in one book by love, all that is sent abroad throughout the universe as leaves torn out and scattered, single, separate things. And any kind of quality that cleaves to them and enters, and whatever brings a partial framework to some area of all that multiplicity. But here, all things and links that ever were and are were fused together so they might appear to me as one pure light. I know I saw the universal form of this intact complexity because my joy, the more I tell of it, expands to mark the act of speaking. Thus a single moment holds me in a trance far deeper than those 5 and 20 centuries have kept their folds around King Neptune, who must always strive to comprehend what crossed his upward glance, the shadow of the Argo. Thus my mind, held fast, gazed fixedly and not askance, by thoughts rekindled of what it might find plumbing the crucible of happenstance. For at that light, no man can turn aside, not by consent, to see aught else. The good, the object of the will and our best guide, is gathered into it, and nothing could exist apart from it and not be called defective, for perfection can be sought only where all perfections are installed in that light. But my speech must now fall short, even of what I can remember still. An infant's tongue still bathing at the breast could say more. As my eyes yet drank their fill of that light, things did not remain at rest. Not that the light did not remain the same. It always had one aspect as before, but as my sight in gazing at the flame gained strength, the single aspect the light wore was changing in my eyes as I was changed. In that high flame's deep and unblemished field, 3 circles of 3 colors were arranged, all of the same extent. One seemed to yield its luster, as a pair of rainbows may, to the other, and the third was made of fire, breathed forth by the first 2. What can I say? Was this the trinity of my desire, or was it not? Alas, how scant is speech, failing my concept by so very much! And what I saw, that concept failed to reach by such a distance, was so out of touch. To call it little scarcely would suffice. Eternal light, known to yourself alone, knowing yourself alone once, twice, and thrice, in loving company yet on your own, the self-renewing well of paradise forever. All the circling thus unloosed reflected light, which my eyes dwelt upon, and saw the way those swirling tints produced a painted likeness that my eyes fixed on completely. For that likeness was of us. Like the geometer who sets his soul to square the circle and will not discuss one thing besides, and yet, although the whole of what he knows is poured into the task, can't find the necessary principle, just so was I when faced with that strange mask. How was the image fitted to the full activity within the circle? Why should it be placed there? But my wings were not sufficient. It took faith's flash to supply my mind with that sharp blow by which it got its wish. Imagination, there on high, too high to breathe free after such a climb, had lost its power. But now, just like a wheel that spins so evenly it measures time by space, the deepest wish that I could feel and all my will were turning with the love that moves the sun and all the stars above.
This has been an Audible Inc. production of The Divine Comedy, written by Dante Alighieri and translated by Clive James. Narrated by Eduardo Ballerini. Producer Mike Charzik. Copyright 2013 by Clive James. Production copyright 2013 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.